start with Hippel's Talmud Minim, and then, if time permitted, we'll go back to Yeshiva Sukkah. Let's start with the Talmud Minim. So, Esrig, if you have an Esrig with a Pitum, so the top of the Esrig, if the Pitum is removed, the law is, it's still, if the whole Pitum is removed, it's possible. But if there's two parts of the Pitum, there's the eighth, and then there's what's called the Shoshanta. As long as the eighth is still there, the Shoshanta has been removed, the lotha is that it's still kosher. However, the Ramah says that Hasila, you should prefer to take an Esrig with the Shoshanta still there also. The mice is kosher, as long as some eighth is left. How much eighth has to be left? If you take out all of the eighth, you'll have an indentation in the ester, in the top of the ester. So as long as it's cut, it's not indenting, it's even with the top. So that's kosher. Once it's been removed, it's kosher. An ester which the chasila grew without a pitzim, so that's kosher. Obviously, you have to buy from a reputable moicher who will tell you which one it is. Otherwise, you're getting involved with one which is taken off and the guy sticks it with the other group, you know. So that wouldn't be such a good idea. Mr. Burr points out, however, that halacha that if it's mitzkilas b'yosei, it would grow without a pitzim, it's kosher. Those grow b'dafka with a guma, and you should have that guma there, which shows that that's the way it grew. Halacha says that an esrog hamenumer, numer means like a leper, means it has different colors on it. So, it's possible. Not all colors are a problem. So let's define the halacha of esrog hamenumer. How many colors have to be a problem? So your main esrog is green or yellow, and you have in one or two spots. So if you have one spot on the chaytim, it's a problem. Chaytim is the upper part of the esrog. The esrog grows like this, and then it goes up to the point where it starts going up to the top. It starts curving to go up to the top. It's called the chaytim. It's even one dot and one miscolor on the top will be a problem. So miscolor is white, black, a strong red, or the Shulchan Aruch says a yoroik ki isve hasada. So green, which is a normal esrog color, is not that deep. Some esrog can actually come like that, but in general the esrog doesn't come like that. So you would have a green that color. It's like the color of grass. It's a green of grass. It's a different color than your esrog color usually. That would be possible. In regards to shaka, there is such a thing as an esrog akushi, which comes black. That's what comes with hatsila, but that's not, most people are not buying that nowadays. So if you live in a place where that's where they grow, if you live in Kush, and Kush, that's where they grow, esrog akushi, I guess, that's where they grow, they call it esrog akushi, right? If you live in that place, so that's to be kosher because that's normal over there, but somewhere else it'd be a problem. Okay, so if it's one of those colors, white or black or a very strong red on the chaytzim, it's possible. It's not on the chaytzim, it's on the lower part of the esrog. It only passes if it's in three places. This halacha that you say apostles, how large does it have to be to apostle? So the Mishnah Berurah brings some mabit. You take the esrog and you hold it like this, and you look at it. If you don't see it at the first glance, assuming you have normal eyesight, it doesn't exist. That's not the psul. The psul is because it looks like two different colors to people. Well, the only way you can notice it has two colors is by looking at it a long time or looking at it very close. That's not the problem. It doesn't look strange to people because most people don't see it that close up. So the psul is not because you found it out. The psul is because the esrog looks miscolored because it has these other, all these other different colors on it. That's only if you'd be able to notice it at first glance at arm's length. So you pick up the esrog, you hold like this at arm's length, and you give it a glance. If you don't see it, it's not there. You want to be mocked, but this is some of the kashas of the esrog, you want to be machmer, you make it more mahud or whatever, fine. It's in regards to the kashrus of the esrog, it's not going to pass.
That's why everyone always looking very carefully. That's not for
That's not for kashrus. Or because they don't know the halacha. Okay. So Sharat Zion, he quotes it from a mabit, and he passes the whole mitzvah like that. That's an important thing to know. So whenever somebody comes and asks me an essay, I go, listen, does it take like this? And turn around, I don't see it. It's not there. People don't like that sometimes. There is such a thing as that now they have to, it's not 100% fair, because some people are better at noticing dots than other people. That's true too. Okay. Yes, it's each person according to his arm. Fine. Now, what? So those colors are a problem. You say green is a problem. That's only a green which would stay green. If the green is going to turn yellow, Mr. Shapur says it's kosher. This green, you know, this green is already. How would you know? Mr. Shapur says you don't know. Well, if it starts turning yellow a little bit in some parts of it, you can assume that it's going to turn yellow. Eventually, this acid will turn yellow. So Mr. Shapur says that you should get at least a little bit of yellow somewhere in your esrog. Otherwise, you have to decide that maybe this is going to remain yorick and you're going to have a problem.
What if it gets a little yellow and then remains that way?
We assume eventually it's going to turn. Even if it turns yellow after Sukkot, but a green which will turn yellow is kosher. So if you say that by the time December comes, it'll probably turn yellow. What? It doesn't turn black. It just shrivels. Yeah. What? Even if it looks manumer. Now, because it's now like this. So there is a shiloh, which is what Ayal is asking. Let's say you have one of the other colors. Right? Lavan, shachar, edan, right? It's not one of those colors. It's the colors which is kosher. So the mice, there's a lot of them on there, and it looks pretty strange. Right? So does a mara kosher create a loch of manumer? So the going pass is the kula. The Shartian comes out of the Chalamaisa, it's Sarchi and the Maisa, and he says, if there's any other Tzvara to be Mekel, you can be Mekel, even with Hatzila, and the Shasim Tzach, you can be Mekel even when it's not. So the Gruach passes, that's not a problem. There's a Prima Gadim, getting back to that, which is in regards to your point. The Prima Gadim regards to yellow, the Prima Gadim says, the Chatzila, the correct color for an esrog is yellow. So if it is a heater to get an esrog which is yellow as opposed to an esrog which is green. Obviously, if you have an option of getting an esrog which is from a pardes, which you know who it is, and you know everything about the kashas of the pardes, and it's a green one, you have an esrog from somewhere else which you don't know, and it's yellow, I think you'd take the green one, not the yellow one. Because, you know, that is not a question of murkab, it's not in the main mile of a cardis which has a hesher on it is, you know, that it's not murka. There's no other grafting which has been done to it. There's no lemon seeds in there. You know, at some point in time they grafted a lemon branch in. Lemon really makes it look very nice. But just not most pleasant holes possible. Okay. The other way in Mara possible possible, so you said a possible on the site in the one spot. Other parts of the esrog, three spots. If it's unroig, the other part of the esrog, it's also a possible. So if you have an esrog, I saw an esrog earlier this week, and the bottom part, it was like, you know, a good 2 inches, circle of 2 inches, which was a different color. And it wasn't roig, but it was only one spot. So it's not manumer, and it's kosher. It wasn't in the sukkah aleph of esrogim, obviously. But it was kosher. So there's something called a bled flap. A bled flap is Yiddish two words. Bled is a leaf, and a flap is a dirt or a damage. Let us regum grow. If you're in Baltimore, you want to visit by Strathmore, right by Park Heights. So in two houses, the Zaslow's house, he grows a sorghum there in the front. You can see a sorghum growing on the tree. It's a good idea once in a while you'll have to see how they grow. So the leaves are sharp, and the leaves press against this regimen, they leave marks on this regimen. That's called blepsa. That's kosher. It doesn't apostle at all. It's kosher. Obviously, there's a drag of heater, which doesn't even have a blood plus on it, and the reason for that is that esrog growers, they grow, they wrap their esrog in with something, cover them with something, this way that it won't get touched by the leaves, otherwise the leaves will make the... Discuss something else is impossible either, as long as it's not a pulsar. Okay, so now, the esrog mehudar, if you want to get your esrog mehudar, the first thing is you want to have it with a chatzila, for heater, being mehudar, it should not have any, not even a blet bus. You can get an esrog which is totally clean, that would be the first point you're looking for. The second point in the heater is that it should be bumpy. More, it's hitter more mahutter if it's bumpy than if it's smooth. They come in both types. Bumpy ones get me nervous sometimes. Because in general, the Iker Gittel Estragon was less bumpy. That's more... the Ukhiv to Shakeya, that's considered more mahutter if it's considered... If the Ukhiv, which is... So that's what grows. You have to take a derek gedulah. So we take it with the pitum up and with the ochets down. That's the place that attaches with the stem down. Now, if you ever look at an esrog tree, that's not how it grows. It grows with the pitum down and the ochets up. Well, it's only because this esrog is heavy. When the esrog starts growing very small, it grows with the top and the top of the stem. As esrog gets bigger and heavier, it falls down, it leans down. And you have the pitum facing down and the ukhits facing up. But the normal way it grows is with the pitum on top and the ukhits on the bottom. That's why we take it, derech gedulah, when you take it with the pitum up and the ukhits down. So the ukhits should be going in, as opposed to being flat, they're going in a little bit into the body of the esrog.
That means the esrog gedulah is like going to attached to it.
It should be blowing like a migdal. So a migdal is a tower. So picture a rocket ship, I think is the way we would call it nowadays. So it's cylindrical, and then it comes to the point at the top. That's considered mahudar. There is an order, yeah. Right.
But?
Right. Or the first thing you want to look for that it's totally clean. So I have a choice between two esrogim. One is totally clean, that's not in the shape of a migdal, and the other one's in the shape of a migdal, but it's not totally clean. So I would tell you to take the one which is totally clean. This is minig yeshivas. I mean, balabatim, they prefer the fact that it's yellow, and it's like the shape of a migdal, and it's bumpy. That's their three preferences. They're balabatim. By yeshiva people, the first preference is that it's clean.
What does that mean, that there are two that are different, but that's just...
In other words, if you look at how it looks, so the nice things about how it looks are the fact that it's bumpy and it's shaped like a mango and it's yellow. Right? Okay. You want the pitma and the shoshanta to be shlema if you have one with a pitma. The next step would be that the pitum and the ukhits are directly opposite each other. So the pitum is not off to the side a little bit, open off to the side, ukhits is here, pitum is here, looks perfectly like the fuse of your rocket ship, just in the perfectly on the bottom. And the last point over here is that it should look nice. Yeah. Get one which looks nice. Some of them, even made everything else, they still look strange. Because it's interesting. Cartel is a follow up fisherman. They look nice. Okay. Hadassim. We'll talk about more psilim of regards to Esther, which are in regards to apply to all Dalaminim. First let's go to the Dalaminim separately and we'll talk about the psilim, which apply to all of them together. The das has to be 312. One more thing before I get to the das. The shear of the asterisk has to be the size of the kebaya. So the size of the kebaya is like your machmir the shabbat deraisa, the machmir the shear of the chazanish, which would be equivalent to two eggs, the volume of two of our eggs. It's not advisable to get an asterisk which is exactly. So it would be 100 grams. That would be the shear, the volume of 100 grams.
Is this placed by water?
We say that, yes, you would do it by that. So it is a heater, not to take almost exactly the kebaya, because more than a heater, because the nature of it is that it shrinks. As the days go by, it shrinks. So you don't want to start with an essay which is exactly a kebaya, because by the seventh day, you might have an essay which is less than a kebaya. And that's ma'akir of all 7 days. Okay. The shear of a hadas is 3 tefachim long. That means 3 tefachim of the wood. So if you have 3 tefachim of wood and you have this leaf coming out on the top, just, you know, it's only 2.9, and the leaf makes it 3 tefachim. It's not going to help you. If it's 3 tefachim without of wood, without the, not counting the leaves, it's 3 tefachim of wood. That's how long it has to be. Okay? The all of them have to be meshulish. Meshulish means that if I take the wood, take the stem, and I draw a, put a string around that at any one point, the 3 leaves which are coming out would all touch that string. Now, one might touch the string on top, one might touch the string on bottom. If the stem, so one's coming out here, one is here, one is here, I put a string around. So even though they're not exactly in line, but that string, you know, you put a little thin string there, so one would touch it on top, and one would touch it high, one would touch it low, as long as all would touch that string, so that is considered meshulish. Meshulish means all coming out at the same height. So you have 3 leaves coming out, and all, at least 3 leaves coming out, you can have more. At least 3 leaves are coming out, sometimes you have 4 or 5. At least 3 leaves are coming out at the same height. And the same height is not exactly the same spot, it's within close, it's within range. So now, how much do you all get? So the string is a thin string. What? What's a thin string? Floss. Yeah, floss is fine. Okay. Now, not wideband floss either. How much do you need to be meshulish? So the chatila, the whole of that, the whole shear of the 3 tefachim should be meshulish. So if your hadas is supposed to be 3 tefachim, which would be machmir and shal deraisa, that's 11.9 inches, 12 inches. So you want 12 inches of meshulash. 12, right? What? 3 tefachim is 3 tefachim is 4 inches per tefach, so it's 12 inches. So the chatila you want to have meshulash all of your if in those 12 inches you're going to have 14 sets of leaves coming out, all those sets should be meshulash. Each branch, yeah. Right. However, the Iker Halacha is that that's the chatila. Kashrus of it is totally in Roiv. So Roiv of each one of your hadasim, Roiv of each one of your hadasim, the shear should be, so I mean 6.1 inches is meshulish, even though what's below that is called a dashrait, it's not meshulish, and they're not coming out right next to each other. That's kosher. Now, just a piece of advice, when you pick them, you know, you're going to check every single one. The way they work, usually, most, like 99% of them, once you found one is meshulish, everything above that is meshulish. So you have to keep checking them. The nature of the way they work is very rarely you have not meshulish, meshulish, not meshulish. Once you're going up your hadas, you start from the bottom, it's not meshulish, not meshulish, not meshulish. Oh, here's meshulish. the chances are 90% of the time everyone above that will be Mishul Mishul.
One kind of Mishul would be a pretty good little thing up.
Right.
If you're first one to Mishul, is it good?
Probably. I think you can check. I mean, it's something in the nature of it. You know, you start getting, you know, very, very, very. The chatzila, one of the hidurim is to get a hadas, which the leaves are the size of. Look at teardrop. Plus one of these over here. Chiparim. That they're not bigger than your thumbnail. They're not so big. You know, it's not a chatzila to get. It's a heater to get ones which have smaller leaves. So those are hard to tell. Sometimes they're very, very tight. So I'm just telling you that usually once one's in the shulish, showing up in the shulish. Obviously, you know, if they're large, you can see, you know, it's funny your nose. You look, you'll see. Yeah. Three seconds. Yeah.
And the bottom one. Is
right, so
you,
you don't have to do that. Because as long as
the
12 inches, where right of it is Mishulish, you have to take the bottom part. No, the 12 inches where it is Mishulish, you said. From the top, from the top to here, even though it's over here, it's not a shul, you just ignore that. Don't take it off. What's the luck if leaves start falling off during the Yom Tov? Neshiras Olam. Neshiras Olam is an issue because you don't have enough leaves. So the luck is, the bigger luck is you go back to Roy. Okay? So as long as Roy and Olam are still there, it's kosher. So, but the Mishaburah starts to shout like this. You start off with the Shulish, and now some of the leaves fell off. So now it's not right? So Reib is there, so it's kosher. But it fell off in such a way that you no longer have Reib Mishulish. Because Reib, the leaves are still there, because for some reason or other, somebody, you know, by mistake, you know, hit this side, you knocked off five leaves, six leaves, all on the same side. So you have two. You have Reib leaves still. Because it still gets one, right? You have Roy leaves, but the mice, you don't have a shulish anymore. Right? Shabur says that that's possible chaskilo. Shasat kak, if you can't find a different one, you can use it. Since it started off as being kosher, that's kosher, but yeah. So the chaskilo, in that situation, you should get another hadas if you could. So that's nageya when you put your, when you're putting the hadas in into the holders. If you have a choice, you go to get the holders come in two sizes. They come in the large size and the small size. Get the large size. So you get the small size, as you're putting your dasim in, you hear rip. And if you don't hear rip, they do come out anyway. You just don't hear it. But inside there, after, you know, after you cut, you open it up and you take it, and there's all these little leaves there. You say, oh, that's nice. That's very exciting. Now the other eitzah would be theoretically, is you just don't put it in too far. You just don't, you know, even if you use it, you have the smaller holders, just don't put it in too far. I'll tell you the problem with that when we get to the lulav part. I'll tell you the problem with that.
Or just don't use them.
There is a mitzvah igud. If you want to do the mitzvah, you cannot use the holders, so you can do igud without the holders. As a matter of fact, it could be it's better to do igud without the holders. And you just tie it with a string or with the rubber bands or the lulav leaf. The Tzul Yavesh, in regards to Hadassim, the Tzul Yavesh doesn't mean that it turned black. Sometimes you'll see that it starts turning black. That's not a problem. If the leaves turn black, it's not a problem. Yavesh is that they turn white to the point that they're so brittle that you break them, you can break them, you touch with your finger, you press it and it breaks. There is a psul of nikdam. There is a machloikis in regards to nikdam roishoy, in regards to hadas. There is a din a nikdam roishoy by a lulav. Why isn't there a din a nikdam roishoy by hadas? It means that the top of the wood is cut off. Because since there's leaves there, leaves cover over the top of the wood. So you're not so nicker. So since it's not so nicker, So if you cannot find other ones, you can make all, and these, and even make a bracha on it. And if you can find other ones, you should use other ones. So when you go into buy, and they give you an option of checking what you have, you don't take those without you. There is a heater with hadas that there's enough leaves there that you don't see the wood. The wood is covered. That's one heater. Second heater, we said before, was that they shouldn't be larger than a thumbnail. And the third heater is that it should smell. Okay? Third heater is that it should have a ray.
So I thought already said the thumbnail was a feeler anyway. This heater, the feeler, what should the size of the leaves be?
Any size of cushion.
Any size of cushion?
Any size of cushion. Okay, a rubber. The shear of the rubber is also 3 tefachim. Again, it's from the wood, and that's 11.8 something inches. So 12 inches, in other words. Shulchan Aruch says that the definition of a rubber is that it has, that they make it as a kosher, a rubber. It has red stems. Okay? So, the Taz points out, as long as it's not white, it's kosher, even though they're green, usually you find them green. What happens is when they sit in the sun for a very long time, they turn red. So, and that's what makes them red. So it didn't turn red, it just because it means that's how they come. They always start growing green, they don't start growing red. You look at a rubber bushes, they start growing green, eventually they turn red from the sun, so if they cut off before that, it's still kosher. By the arava, because the leaves are more spaced than the hadas, so Nitzim Rosh is a problem. Because you can see the wood, so Nitzim Rosh should be a problem. If a tower part of the leaf has been cut off, that's not a problem. You have the same problem of Nosher. If the leaves came off, wherever the leaves came off on the arava, it's going to be possible. Shabur says, Chatzim, you should take one in a place where aravas are available. You can get one with, where none of the leaves have come off. That's your heater. That amount would be none of the leaves come off within the shear of the kashrus. So if you have an arava which is 5 tefachim long, right? You don't have to worry about that. But within the 3 tefachim, which means all your leaves intact in the 3 tefachim. Even that, if part of a leaf is missing, is not a problem. Or if there's holes in the leaves, you go take it off the rubber bushes. You'll see there's like little insects made little holes in them, or there's a fungus that made a little hole in the leaf. That's still called the chaskil. You have all your leaves. Okay, lulav. So it comes from the palm tree. The way it goes on the palm tree is it starts out coming out totally closed, and as it matures on the tree, the leaves start loosening, eventually the leaves spread, and they start to harden. And that's the thing you had before in Lama Bay. The more discussion is at what point is it, if right of the leaves are nifritsu, which means not that they're detached from the shidra, but they are spreading out already. They're starting to, and then you cut it off at that point, so that is possible. The way it grows, it grows originally it's like this. Then the leaves loosen, and then they start spreading. They start fanning out. And they get stuck in that, and then they get hard, and as they do that, they harden a little bit. So you can't press them back in.
Okay, at the point where you can't press them back in.
Right. That's very interesting.
But it's part of a oven, but you can spread them in space.
That's fine. Yeah. Fine. That's a din of roif. The leaves should be kachol, because that's the normal way they grow. They grow one which is not, the leaf is not a double leaf. They always grow as a double leaf, like folded over on itself. Sometimes it happens they grow, but that, not like that. And those, that would be a problem either in roif or the middle leaf. That's known as the tiyarmis. If that one is not kachol, it's possible. Sometimes they grow together very close and it's hard to tell. And one year I picked a lulav and I was like very excited, it was a great lulav. And like no problems with mechlach, etc. then it hit me like a day or two into the yomtov. I said, you know, I'm not sure it's double leaf. He says, but I'm not going to open it up to make sure, because I'm not going to split it. So I made a bracha with somebody else's. You know, I used it. And at the end, after yomtov, I opened it up and it was double. But it was like very harrowing experience. Okay, so what is this middle leaf? The middle leaf doesn't actually have to be the middle leaf. It has to be the little, what it is if you look at it, if you hold it, hold the little in front of you, with the green part facing you, so you see that there's this, what's known as the shed of the spine, which is the green body which the leaves come out of. So you follow that up, and it gets, as the leaves come out, it gets thinner and thinner and thinner. So finally, one point, there's one leaf, or two leaves, which come out from that shed to the top. That is called the tiyarnas. So if there's one leaf, that's a tiyarnas. Sometimes the shadow will end up in two leaves, and both of those have a din of tiyarnas. And there's a lot of halachas in regards to the tiyarnas. See, the first thing is you want to check your lulav, make sure that it's, you have to figure out where the tiyarnas is. So you follow your shadow up to the last point, and it goes up all the way to the top. That's not necessarily the middle, it's not necessarily the highest leaf. Sometimes it might be the one next to the highest leaf. So just look at the highest leaf and make sure that it's okay and that everything's wonderful. That's not necessarily the tiyarnas. Okay, so the tiyarnas, the chatzila, should not be split at all. So that leaf, which is a double leaf, you don't want that leaf to be split into two. Many times it don't split into two. So the chatzila, you want to take one which is not split at all. Nikra din, it's kosher as long as right of it has not split. What does right mean? You figure out the point from when the shedra ended till the tip, let's say, is 6 inches. So as long as right of that has not been split, so up to 3 inches is okay. If it's 10 inches, it would be up to 5 inches. So whatever, till right, it's still kosher. So since the halacha is still kosher at that point in time, just the Mishabura says it's not a good deal of chasila to take one like that, because it might split more. Especially when you're doing your mitzvah nanum, you move it around, it's going to split more. You're allowed to glue it together. Since right now it's kosher, it's totally kosher right now, you're afraid it's going to split more, so you're allowed to prevent it from splitting more. So you're allowed to put glue on it to stop it from splitting.
Putting all the way through, or just one side? Like, is it possible that the leaves are like this?
Well, the way the leaves work is that if the shed is facing you,
yeah.
So all the leaves come together, the opening is in the back.
Yeah.
So in the front, they're attached. So if that's going to split, you're going to see that split.
Well, it's
on the back side is always separate.
Okay.
Okay.
So is that middle one there? That's the problem?
What?
Nechlat? Yeah.
Correct. Now, if you have two tiyarnas, which have a double tiyarnas, so both of them have halacha of nechlach, and there's a shidduch shemesh holds, then there's halacha, the two of them shami nechlach from each other. So, because as they grow, they also grow attached to each other. Besides the leaf itself being attached, the leaves next to each other are also attached. So there's a shidduch holds, if you have a double tiyarnas, the two of them should not be split from each other. Now, this which we said, that as long as Roman is still attached, it's kosher. That's talking about that they're separated, but they're not standing separate. They're not attached, but they're still next to each other. If, however, they split from each other, and you could see that, that's called the psul of Nisa Kehimnik. Nisa Kehimnik doesn't have a shear. It's possible. So, if I have my tip, you know, it's not even a tefach, but I can clearly see the two leaves have split apart. So, looks like that. It's not the roiv, it's not a tefach even, but I can see the two leaves of the tiyarnas split from each other. It's naked to see it, so it's possible. It has to be obviously visible that it's two. So, you know, if you take it, you put next to your eye, and you see there's a little split between the two of them, but you can see through it. You know, you put a type of white paper, you'll see the other side, you know. So it's a hemnic shaman. That's not an hemnic shaman, you know. If you want to be mocked with a healer, that's wonderful. It's not a hemnic shaman. What? The distance between the two of them?
Yeah.
Has to be obviously noticeable. It's the same lungus as the chaitin. The process of, you know, its idea is your tiyomis on the lulav is the same thing as the chaitim on the ester. It's the high point, it's most noticeable, you notice at first glance, you see the two of them are clearly separate, right? So, you know, your arm's length type of a thing, so that means that's a hymnic. The Magen Rambam says on that, hymnic applies between the middle leaf and the two leaves next to it. Also. Because so if you have the middle leaf is intact, but the leaf next to it, the two of them are split or on either side, that's a din of hymnic also. I'm not going to run. Niktim is puzzle. So if you have any of that little thing cut off, it's a problem. That's either the top of the tiyamis or right with the leaves. Either one will be a problem. However, if you have a lulav, and you know some lulavim, that it goes all the way up to the tip of the leaf, and then at top of the tip of the leaf is like this little point, looks like a spike coming out. If that breaks off, that's not a problem. That's not called mitzvah. That wasn't part of the actual lulav itself. That's not a problem. You'll see one. Sometimes the tips of them start turning brownish. That's from the sun. That's not a problem. The sheer the din of Yavesh is not totally in that. The din of Yavesh is that it's white. So as long as it's not white, even though it's brown, that's not a problem. Now obviously you can get one that's totally green. That's a nice hitter. Those are quite hard to find. So the brown stuff that's close to them is called the Korah. It holds the leaves together. So some people like that very much. This way, you can assume halacha, if the cover is there, you can assume that it's not nechlak. So if you have one which is, the middle one has covered with that brown stuff, you can assume it's not nechlak. It's totally closed all the way up to the top. That's a big nihilah.
A lot of people look for that.
Some people adopt to look for that. The issue with that is, if it's attached, you have all of them attached, so you can't do kiskusin. So what you could do is buy and just cut off a few on the side. As long as you leave your middle one intact. You need an unknown. We'll get to an unknown in a bit. We'll get to an unknown on a second, eventually. Okay. Kafuf. So lots of kafuf is puzzle. There is a machloek is how to define kafuf. Is kafuf the shukunar? It defines kafuf as on the shidra. It means the shidra is bending towards you, forward. However, if sometimes you'll have what's known as a knepple, the top of the leaf is bent. It's not the shed itself, but the leaf itself, the top, has a bend on it. So that's machloikas. Some Rishonim held that that's kosher on Rabbah. Usually those, which we call it a knepple, the knepple ones usually do not split. So they have a mile, they're not split. And some people... I think they usually bend back. Right. So there is, however, the Shabur comes out, says, well, it's they don't take them, and the Chesidah they take them. Because the Rosh held they were kosher. And however, he says, I prefer taking those, the Rosh writes. The Shabur comes out, because of the Machoik is, so, it shouldn't be cuff of any of them. So you'll get two of them. Two different sheets about that. So either one, well, if you hold the problem, either the Shidra one or Rose.
Okay.
How long does the lulav have to be? So the lulav has to be one tefach longer than your dasim and your rovs. I mean, and that means the Shedra. So if you have a lulav, which the whole lulav altogether is 16 tefachim long from top to bottom, it means the cheddar is not 16 inches long, so it means that your cheddar is not 16 inches. Right, so you need four tefachim worth of cheddar. But you don't need four tefachim worth of cheddar. You need one tefach more than your hadas and your rava of cheddar. So if you have a five tefach hadas, you need six tefach cheddar. You could do that, right? So if you use the holders and you stick them in just at the top, so you have this nice long hadas sitting there, starting about halfway up your lulav. The lulav has to extend a tefach beyond the top of the hadas and the rova. So that's why you don't want to put your hadas and the rova just in the top of that holder, because then you take up a lot of space of unused lulav, which doesn't help you anymore. So you need the lulav to extend one tefach beyond the top of the hadas and the rova.
So could you hold your hadas really, really low?
You could hold your hadas really. You can move them a little.
Just hold the tip of it, and then.
Yeah, but then your holder doesn't help you so much, because at that point in time it's just falling off the.
You could do that.
So the correct way of holding, making when you put your lulav together, you do igud. So you have this nice long lulav. You put your hadas and rova lower down, and then you have at least a tefach of shedra of the lulav beyond the hadas and the rova. Many shul, you know, I have to warn you also, the holder is nice and strong and hard the first day. As it gets older, it gets more supple and it moves up the lulav. So all of a sudden you notice, hey, you know, how'd that get there? My lulav, the hadas and the rovers are beyond the top of the shedra. So you have to keep an eye on every day to put it together, how far it goes, and just tie it a little bit tighter. Okay, so that shear would be a shear of 4 inches, at least on the first day, be a shear of 4 inches. Okay, there are certain tefillin. Mitzvah d'oraisa to take lulav one day, and minrabbanan is to take it 7 days, and we'll talk about the second day yom tov eventually. Certain tefillin chazal extended the same way that all tefillin minrabbanan apply the first day, and afterwards only they some apply to them, some don't. So Chazal did not extend all psulim all 7 days. So, for example, Din of Lochem only applies the first day; doesn't apply the second day. The remaining 6 days. We'll see what about the second day, Yom Tov and Chutzlaretz. But for now, we're talking Eretz Yisrael. You have 7 days. One day, the first day Yom Tov, and then 6 days of Chol HaMoed. So the Din of Lochem doesn't apply. Okay. So therefore I can borrow my dalet minim on the second day. Gozel, which is the problem of Tikva Bavera, applies all 7 days. The Shaul, which is the problem of Bochem, doesn't apply. So if I knock him in of that, for example, it would be like this. So the Mora says that you give a lulav to a katan, so when you give it to him, he's kind of, because there's Dasa Karas Makna being Makna to him. But he can't be Makna back to you. So, on the first day, I want to give my lulav to my son over here to the yotzei mitzvah. So he should be karnet, because he's supposed to be yotzei mitzvah, that should be his. So I'm machting my lulav to him. Great. Now comes the next day, I can't take it back from him. I have to borrow it from him. That's not a problem, because Shaul is kosher the remaining 6 days, except for the second day yom tov. Since the second day yom tov is the topic of the first day, so you need lochem on the second day, yom tov and chutzlaretz. So on the first day, you go over to your son and you give him the lulav on the first day yom tov, and it's his. Now on the second day yom tov, you take it back from him, and it's not yours, it's his, because you can't be cutting it back from him. So it's a problem. So what do you do? Yeah. I'll say what. He can't be machna.
So
he can be kaina. He can't be machna. He can't be machna. He can be kaina. So when you give it to him, your hadas hafaras machna becomes his. Now he's being machna back to you. He can't do that. So when you give it to him, all you accomplished was he didn't do his halacha of the Sinai giving it back. So, but yeah, but he was never kaina. He wasn't there to the mitzvah. So you got your mitzvah, but he didn't. So you know,
he didn't.
No, the mitzvah cannot say the mitzvah, the ishvi yadza the mitzvah. You can't buy from a cousin, no. Right. Well, over there, a lot of times they're selling it, you know, they're not doing the maknas, the owner of them is the father. Okay? So, the shaila is, the eitz in that case is not to be maknas. So, is that a good eitz or not? Not to be maknas in the first day. What's the shaila? The shaila is, people misunderstand the chinuch. The mitzvah chinuch is to give to the child, be mechalchim to do the mitzvah the way he does the mitzvah, he's going to be a golem. Be mechalchim in a way that he's not to do the mitzvah, it's not to do the chinuch. So I give a child chinuch on a posel of dalim minim, not yet to my mitzvah chinuch. I think the chanachim to do the mitzvah the way he's going to do it when he's a gadol. So I have to be mechanachim with a kosher dalim minim. Does that apply to lachem also? Lachem is not a definition of the min. Lachem is a side issue. So that's machloikis in the bir locha. Maybe the lachem doesn't apply to a chinuch. It doesn't a chinuch on lachem. And therefore, at least like that shita, he can meet, do the mitzvah without lochem on the first day. This way he won't be kindness. The second day, he'll give it, it's still mine. Second day, he can give it to him and make it his. So then he can be out for the first day. Now, it is important, even in that same Eretz Yisrael, if women want to make a bracha on it, or any other, you want to let, give it to another gadol to make a bracha on it, any gadol goes first before the kasa. So don't, you know, give it to your son in shul, and then come home and give it to your wife. So she wants to be, she wants Ashkenaz, you know, Sephardia doesn't make a bracha anyway, right? She wants, or doesn't do the mitzvah. An Ashkenazi woman who wants to do the mitzvah, wants to make a bracha on it, it has to be hers. Same way it has to be yours, it has to be hers. She's doing the mitzvah, it has to be hers. You have to be married to her. So you can't do that if you gave it to your son in shul.
Second day, he gave it to
you
back.
So
you say on the
day it's
okay because
it's
really on the second day?
No, because the Sakana's Chazal was the second day as if it's the first day. Okay. So Shaul is kosher from Chol HaMoed and onwards. Mekicha Tama, that it can't be a Chaser, it has to be a Shaulin. That only applies the first day. So if there's a nekev in your estrig, and now there's a hole in it, so it's something missing, it's kosher on the second day. The more so the case of that he took a bite out on the second day, it's kosher the second day, it's not kosher the first day. Anything which has to do with the size of the min, and what the min is, however, the ikur l'kicha, it has to be a kosher estrig, the shear, the size, etc. That applies all 7 days. What about psulim which are because of tatar? It's not chaser. It's not yishul kichat tama. It's lochem. It's not yishul lochem. It's an estrig, but the psul was it's like manumer or something like that, which is it doesn't look nice. That's a psul of tatar. So that applies all 7 days. The Rambam says it does not apply all 7 days, and the Rosh says that it does. There are more passages like the Rosh for Ashkenazim that it applies all 7 days.
Doesn't the Gemara say it's all 7 days? Or is that considered? Isn't that the first part of the Gemara?
You know what? I haven't seen the Gemara recently, so I cannot tell you.
How can you understand the fact that Chaser is not considered the problem of Hadar? And you have a chunk taken out of here as well, but still considered Hadar.
The hutter is a question of the beauty of the fruit. Over here, I did something to it. That's not a concern of hutter.
So if you clipped off the piston, make it gouge out the piston, it'd be all good.
Why not? That's a tama poser. Not mahutter. Not mahutter is not a problem. It's not, the question is not it's not hotter.
Also, it's chaser by the Rambam.
So that halacha we said before, that Nikam Roshari is a problem, so we're going to get and find out over here that there's a Sharla of Nikam Roshari. There's Nikam Roshari of the Sul of Hadr. There's Nikam Roshari of the Sul of Kichatama. Okay? So that is a machoikis, whether Nikam Roshari is a Sul of Hadr or a Sul of Kichatama. Nafkamina would be kosher the other days, according to the Rosh. So now you have a Sreik Sreika. According to the Rambam, it's kosher either way. And according to the Rosh, it's not that it's the Psul of the Kichotam, it's still going to be kosher. If you have a Sreik Sreika, it's going to be master it. So the Mishabura says you can take it, however you don't make a bracha based on the Sreik Sreika. The Mishabura just says, however, he has a Kanech that since the right person passing knowledge to them all like the Shulchan Aruch, so maybe there's an argument you say you can make a bracha. Okay, so for example, so in Yeshua's case, the same word as Mechoikis by Nikam Roshay is also Mechoikis by the Nikam Roshay taking away the eighth of the pitim. Is that a psul of Mechifa Tama? Is that a psul of Hodr? Okay. So the Magen Rom holds that that's a psul of Hodr. Okay, the Ramah says it's a psul of Chaser. And the Magen Rom says it's a psul of Hodr. So if Pimukadam says, so in that case, you have a chid, you'll get another one to take it, because you have this to take, but you want to make a bracha on yourself, you have a bracha on the hakol, and the Shabbos seems to say, if you have at least another, some other cheshbon, you could. If you could come up with a second type of a cheshbon, right, you could. Now, regards to the second day Yom Tov, so that is a rush. And the Ramah brings the Rosh, so the Rosh says the second day of has been like the first day. However, for the Sfaradim over here, there's a Rambam. The Rambam says that doesn't have, they weren't Misakin for the second day. The Rambam says, therefore, what you would do is you'd be Nitzel without a Bracha. In case you have the problem, you'd be Nitzel without a Bracha. So it doesn't solve your problem. If you want to make a Bracha, it doesn't solve the problem. The din of Bukhem, one last point, which I mentioned on the Shir on Tuesday, that in order to be kaina, we do a kinyan derabbanon, so there's a machlokes in the Shoyin already, the kinyan derabbanon works on a derisa level. So Chaim says that you were kind of telling the Talmud with Kesef, so I want to buy the Sefer Midrash, I pay money for it and it's mine. Chaim says we don't want to do that because what happens, you can pay money for it without doing any kinyan on it, so I might leave it sitting by you, I pay for it, it's mine now, it's not yours anymore, then there's a fire and you're not going to say because tough luck on Rheingold, because it's not mine anymore, it's Rheingold's, you know. So just he'll tell the kaina, hey buddy, you know, there's a big fire, it burned down your pile of wheat yesterday. Yeah, I says, thank you very much. So the Chum said that you're not kind until you do Mashiach, so you actually take it. So, well, now, fire breaks out. The halacha is that it's not mine, it's yours. You better save it. However, the Chum did say that as soon as you give kesef, even though before you do Mashiach, there's a mishapara. You can't back out. You get a call if you black out. However, unless you have a good excuse, like it burns out. Then you're going to call us for backing out. So if I paid for it, I didn't do kinyan yet, so the law is you have to give me back my money, and I'm allowed to back up. So now, let's say you do the opposite. I just do Mashiach or Hagbol without doing Kesef. So I only did a kinyan derabanan, not a kinyan deraisa. So I have to, I have to own this set of dollar minimum. And I didn't pay for it yet. I took it on credit. I'll tell you after Yom Tov. So I didn't pay for it yet, so I didn't do a kinyan deraisa. So only the Kinyan Rabbanon. So far, how come a Yotzu on Yom Tov, the first day, was a Nisa Deraisa, with how much I only owe me Rabbanon. So there are some Rishonim which hold that since Hefker, Bezin, Hefker, and the power of Bezin is to the point that they can make it mine, Deraisa. Hefker, Bezin, has it been Deraisa. So they can make it mine, their Kinyan Rabbanon of Mashiach makes it mine, Deraisa. Because that's been Hefker, Bezin, Hefker. That's how some Rishonim are. Others say no, that no, Kimon remains. Rashi holds that Kimon remains the Rabbana. So Rashi says, therefore, the Moshe, let's say I go to the store and I buy a ring on credit. And I go to a woman and I say, Rebbe Kudesh, leave it to Batu Kudesh Moshe Israel. I only married her to Rabbana because Mirai, it's not my ring. So when you sit under the chuppah, so the first thing we ask the chosim, one thing the Sarah asked the chosim and says, is this your ring? Did you pay for it with money? Whose money was it? You know, you pay for it with your money. He says, no. So how are you paid? Well, I picked it up. That's wonderful. Let's not go with it. So now, however, by Matana, Hagbos Kadamita Rice. Because if there's no money to pay, then Hagbos Kadamita Rice by Matana. So he said, oh, it was your father's money. Wonderful. So your father owns it. Father, please be market right now as a Matana to your son. And the son will do a Kenyan Hagbos and be Kadamita Rice. So what do you do? So don't buy your Dal Minim on credit. Buy them with money. Yeah, well, usually the person's not, you know, he's not for Mechiri, he's not doing the Matanas. Right. He doesn't want to give you some money, he doesn't want to give him a Matana, I don't owe him anything. Now, so, let's say you pay with a check. So what, a check is a valid instrument of money. So that's considered I gave him money. I gave him something of value, because a check is marketable. So Shabbat it works for Kinyon. So I gave him something of value. I gave him a check, which is worth, you know, paid to the order of, it's worth money in the market. He could go sell it. It might not be the amount of money, which is, it's not worth the selling in the market will not be the face value of the check. Nobody's going to pay you $100 for a $100 check, but they'll pay you $90 for a $100 check, so it's worth $90, so cash it. So you can use a check also. But just to do Mashiach or Hagbah alone, it's not a good idea. Regards to a credit card, it's an interesting question. How to don a credit card? Credit card is not the same as a check. A check in halacha is nidain. The way a check works in halacha, by the way, is the way a checking account works is I lend money to the bank. There's no money in the bank sitting in the bank, which is my money. How would I lend the bank money? The bank owes me whatever money I have in my account. That's the money the bank owes me. Now I tell you, I said, you go and collect that choyv from the bank. I said, so we mark them, that choyv which I have to the bank for you, and now you're allowed to go to the bank and collect the choyv. It's a form of a harshua, which you're going to keep the money. So I'm being marked as the choyv. So I gave you my right to be kindness from the bank, I give over to you. That is a marketable thing. I can do something with it. A credit card doesn't work like that. A credit card works that the company pays the moicher. When the moicher submits it, he gets paid by the company. And the company comes to me to collect their money back. So why come to me? They didn't ever give me any money, so where's the loan? They're coming to me, like, hey, we lent you money. You didn't lend me any money, you gave him money. Right? So how does that work? That works at the din of Arvus, because there's a lacha that's figured on the Zion, that an orei becomes nischayiv. When Reuven gives Shimon money, Levi is chayiv. Why is Levi chayiv? Levi didn't get the money. Levi's committed himself, and you give the money to him, I can't like he gave it to me. That's how the set of Arvus is, I can come to Yitzchayev to pay money which I didn't receive. So over here, when you give money to the Moicher, when the company gives money to the Moicher, it's considered that I received the money and therefore I owe the money to the company. And that was the arrangement. When you give the money to Pliny, I count as if I received it. And once it works for Kedushin, right? You can be counted as a woman, right? She says, give it to so-and-so. Right, so he stands and he says, "Rebbe, because that's a Rebbe moment." And you know, he sends Yaakov, and he gives Yaakov the money. She's married; she didn't get a penny, but the money he gave to Yaakov counts as it went to her. And that's he's mekadosher with that money that he's giving to Yaakov. She tells him mekadosher with the money given to Yaakov. That works. There's no more case of Mavzayim. So that works. So that works. It works. It works. But Mechira also. So that's how a credit company works. So it means what happens is right now, when I buy credit, he got no money. then somebody else gives him money. I didn't give him the money. So where's my kenyan? I owe the credit company. I owe them money. That's wonderful. But I never gave you money. Right? So if I never gave you money, so there's no point in telling I was current with a credit card. Chotzer is the raisha. So a person who owns this house, etc., brings his talmid home, puts it down on the chotzer, the market had daft, the market has daft to be marked to me. So I put in my chotzer and I'm current with chotzer. So that's not a problem. But there's a peculiarity of just getting back to the case of the cousin. And the Kriyakov has a chop and have an eitzel to do with the cotton. Good for it. He says he uses a tanai. The same way the Lacha says you can use a tanai for Gabi Erev. If you have to make an Erev, in case we have to Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, you can make an Erev to Shilam. The tanai, in other words, the Kaz Rabbanon was be knowing each day as if it's philosophic. Not that it's not, except Rosh Hashanah, or Yom Tovim, the 2 days that you're knowing them as if it's a Sof. So it's not more common than it was as Man Chazal when they had 2 days. Well, when they had 2 days, it was a Sofik. So the Mashal is a Beyish and Olda, right? So on the first day, on the second day is Mutzah. Why Mamasha? If the first day was Yom Tov, today is Cholamoy. So it's Mutzah. The egg burning Yom Tov is Mutzah Cholamoy. If today's Yom Tov, yesterday was Chol. So why is it Mutzah? So Beyish and Olda, the first day is Mutzah on the second day. Same thing with an Erev. Person forgot to make an Erev to Shilin. Right, so he comes on an Erev Yom Tov, which would be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. Right, so he can make an Erev on the first day and say a monoshah. If today is Yom Tov, tomorrow's Chol. I'm not baking Chol to Shabbos. Tell him I want tomorrow's Yom Tov, and today's Chol, so I'm making an Erev now, but on a Chol. So I give this kid this valid minim to Tanah. If today is Yom Tov, I'm being marked to him with Dalai Minim. So that's it. So tomorrow it's already Cholamoid, and I can use Shol with Kosher. I borrowed a little bit of Kosher. So I'll borrow it for myself. Elamai what? But maybe tomorrow is really Yom Tov, and today is Chol. So B'chol, I'm not being marked anything. There's no mitzvah for him to go anyway. Right? The only problem is how the kid would make a bruch on that. I don't know how the kid would make a bruch on that. They know exactly. I guess it's not any worse than we're making a bruch on it. So he says, what you do is use an eighth of a tanai. See, if today is Yom Tov, I'm giving you the matana. It's not Yom Tov, I'm not being marked to you. So it's not a matana. So that's the eighth of the Bikuriyat that comes up with how to solve the problem. Even according to the Rosh, which holds that there's a din of Lachem on the second day Yom Tov, and you marked it to your kid on the first day, so he can't be marked it back to you. So that was the eitzah that the Periyaku came up with. So let's talk one halacha in regards to how to do the nanuim. So I'll go with minig Ashkenaz just for argument's sake, whoever it is, you know. So I'm sorry. Right, so you're facing Mizrach. Imagine, right, I'm actually facing Marv right now, but imagine if I'd be facing Mizrach, right? So if I face Mizrach, so then you go forward. The way they come up from the Shabbat, the correct way to do Nanuim is three times back and forth, and each time you go back and forth, you give three shakes. So you give a shake, a shake, a shake, a shake, a shake, a shake. You have come up with 18 in each direction. Six, right? Three out, three back, and each one as you go out three times forward and three times back. So the total of 18 tiftusim. So it's supposed to be, so as you're moving, each halach and havor has three tiftusim on the way out and three tiftusim on the way back. That's when the Mishabura comes out, you're supposed to do an anuim. Nobody does that in shul for sure not, because you know, by the time you do that, you're holding by Haidu and then holding by On Hashem. Right? You know, I'm doing that, you know, three times, and the word, first I get three times back and forth, and the word Haidu is quite an accomplishment. So at least when you make the bracha, you should do that. That secret that I'm known is when you make the bracha, you should at least do when you try to make the bracha, you should do that. There is another sheet which holds, which is a Taz, holds that you do kiskus, and some will do it a different way. They stand here, they get three shakes, put it out, get three shakes, and that's how they do it. Instead of doing it as you go out or in, you do it three shakes and then go out, three shakes. So you do it like that. And you see each halach on the board, you end up with the same six, but you don't do it as you move, you do it standing still. So there's two ways to do kiskusim. Me great that you can consume even if your lulav is totally closed. It just doesn't make any good sound, you know. The idea of kisum is to make some type of a sound. Because all you run to atayar, they call out, atayar, call out the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's the sound of the kisum. So there is a mile of getting a lulav, which is, you know, if you don't get a lulav, it's totally closed, because we have no shadows and nechlak, etc. That you're not going to be married to the mitzvah of kisum if you do that. You get a lulav, it's totally closed all the way. You get a lulav, which is closed in the middle, and the side ones are open, that's fine. You have to do kisum that with the top, with the top tier. And the same thing if you do the start, you don't start with mitzvah, whatever direction you're going, so that's the correct way to do kisum. And the second point, just in regards to the, so in the pasuk of Hoidu, so there's seven words, you don't do a nanuim, when you say the Shem Hashem. So you do one for each word, and that's easy. By Ona, the way Mishmur says, you do two kiskusim, two nanuim per word. So Ona, then you don't do the Ring Hashem. Hoshia has three syllables, it only gets two nanuim. And Noah has one syllable and it gets two nanuim, two directions. Right? So if you're doing in the Ashkenaz, you'd be doing, going Noah, going up, and going down with the same word Noah. So then, if you're being Mr. Svard, you're doing down and back. Right? Down and back, isn't the last two? Yeah. Right. So it would be the last two kisses. Okay, that was the Solomon part. I think we'll break for the Shiva Sukkah part a different time.